Hello and welcome to Beyond Reproach. I'm Stephanie Domingo.
That's true. She is.
Thank you for affirming my existence. Yeah,
and I am Tux Lurzel.
if we be drinking, if we be swearing. Mm-hmm. This is the show where we discuss our feelings on specific topics related to American history, politics, or culture.
Yeah. Facts. The mini.
We're talking this mini about what got us into history and politics.
Yeah.
We've talked about what's gotten us individually into politics kind of loosely.
Yeah.
Like it's come up.
Yeah.
I guess we haven't really focused on it, but yeah, we're going into detail this episode.
Detail.
Ooh, detail. Look at you,
Daniel. Kind of like debris.
Yes. The debris.
I guess I'll just dive right in. So I've talked about what got me interested in politics a little bit before. I grew up in a family that didn't really talk about politics or care about politics. And then living with Stephanie, I mean, it was a combination of like living with you and also the 2008 election just got,
yes.
I think it got a lot of people excited about politics that who had never been before.
Yeah. It was a fun time.
Yeah. But because we've already discussed that a little bit before, I thought I would dive into what got me interested in history, specifically American history.
Yes.
When I was a kid in school, I had a lot of crap history teachers that, I mean, I learned some things, but it was taught in a way that was like so dry and so boring that I just always thought, I just hated history.
Yeah, me too. My teachers were all awful. I was very disengaged.
Yeah. I think I've said this on the show before that testing is really like date heavy and I'm terrible with dates. So I always just thought it was like so much work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The thing that really got me from that point as like a child who could not care less about history to an adult who loves history was kind of a weird roundabout way. I got to it through my interest in food history.
Oh, okay. Yes.
And that, even my food history interest and sort of love for food history started because I had this weird project in college and I smoked a lot of weed in school, so I don't remember the class and I don't remember the exact specifics of like for the class what it was about, but I remember the specifics of what my project was.
Okay.
So I did a kind of like a report on the way the American food system changed over the past like 100, 200 years due to
food production,
changes in technology and transportation technology.
Okay.
And how like food, like new foods were available to different segments of American life because transportation got better.
Yeah.
Sort of like what we talked about in the soil milk scandal, how like city dwellers couldn't get fresh milk because it would spoil by the time it got here. And then when they introduced refrigerated rail cars, everything kind of changed.
Mm-hmm.
So this project that I did was sort of like that, but more of like a broad strokes American food system.
Okay. You know,
frozen food, how like frozen food changed everything kind of thing. Freezer cars on trains and then tractor trailers that had freezer capability.
Yeah, like, semi-trucks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But so from there...
Wait, do you call semi-trucks tractor trailers?
Tractor trailers.
Oh!
Yeah.
That reminds me of that survey that you sent me. The regional.
Because
when
it's
you
New York
said
Times.
That, I'm just like, no, not tractors.
Yeah.
That's why I said semi-trucks,
yeah.
Which is what we call them in Ohio.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's an upstate New York thing,
like,
tractor
what
trailers.
What is a tractor trailer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody calls it different things. I've heard people call it a 14-wheeler.
Yes. That makes more sense to me than tractor trailer.
I don't know.
Tractor trailer truly just like took me to a farm with someone like plowing their fields with a tractor. And I'm just like, wait, why would they have food out there?
Yeah, if anyone's interested, that's a really cool... There's this like quiz on... I think it's from the New York Times about dialect.
Like, regional dialects. I think it's 25 questions.
Yeah.
Based on how you answer, it tells you where in the country you're from.
Yeah, it's fun.
And it said I was from Toledo, which is a goddamn lie. But it was close enough.
Close enough. Yeah, that's mine said I was from like Rochester,
okay.
Which is also, yeah, close enough. But anyway, so from doing that one project, I was like, oh, this is actually really fascinating to me for some reason. This like... food history in America thing. So I started getting really into like doing personal research, not for classes, but like reading books on whatever. And again, we've brought this up on the show where I have like books on baking powder, like the history of baking powder, but like lots of things.
Flour, all sorts of...
The history of, like, grocery stores, the history of restaurants in New York City. Like, there's so many things that it's just, I don't know, for whatever reason, is really interesting to me. From there, I found a book on this WPA project that was called America Eats that was supposed to be about...
That was during the Depression,
It was right? during the Depression, and it was supposed to be kind of like...
Like a road guide, right?
Well, originally they did a road guide through the WPA, and it did really well, commercially. That was sort of like a tourist guide for people.
Yeah, if you were driving around, you should stop at these places and eat because X, Y, and Z.
But then from there, after that did really well commercially, they were like, we should do one about food. So then this was supposed to be a not necessarily a road guide, but it was going to be like, if you go to the South, these are the kinds of foods that you can expect to see.
Oh.
And there were all these like short essays. They had people. It was, you know, the WPA or this segment of the WPA, the Writers Project, was set up for people who were like newspaper people who were out of work that needed to get paid and write about something. So they're like, well, if you're from Toledo, write about the food ways of the Midwest and like the food history, the food culture, whatever. And then it was, you know, that was at a time in American history where we didn't have McDonald's. We didn't have Whole Foods. Mm-hmm. So depending on where you were in the country, the food was really different. So this book was about, like, if you're somebody that lives in New England, but you're traveling to the Southwest, this is what you can expect to see.
Yeah, we don't have chowder down here, you guys.
And also, like, what you should look for if you're going out to eat, if you're going to be on the road, go find chili verde or something.
Yeah.
In reading that book, I started learning a lot about the New Deal in general. And from there, I was like, man, this is like has expanded from just food history to American history. And then, you know, you can't really talk about American history, especially the New Deal, without actually including politics, too.
Yeah.
So it just sort of snowballed. And then before I knew it.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. That's really interesting. Yeah, I don't really have a firm story on like how I became interested in history and politics. I guess through learning about history, I've always known history from my dad, and the things that I learned in school basically told me that everything I have is because someone who looked like me fought for, and died for the right for me to be non-enslaved. So I was kind of born political.
Yeah. I don't think that all families, black families, are doing that, though, either. I'm sure there is a certain...
Maybe not, but I'm not sure. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you weren't born into a different family, so you wouldn't know. But I feel like there's a lot of people out there that it's really easy to be like, history is boring, politics is boring, I don't care.
But I think that, I would like to think that all black people are born political, because just our existence, the fact that we're living here and thriving, is an act of resistance.
Yeah.
And what little, the like measling things that we do learn about history, like we're in it.
Yeah.
And we're not talked about enough, and you know, we're only talked about in 1 month of the year, unfortunately. But
I mean, that could be part of the problem, part of the reason a lot of people are turned off by history, because it's taught in a way that excludes huge portions of the population.
And that whitewashes a lot of things.
Absolutely. It
glosses over things that are not particularly comfortable to talk about.
Yeah.
But this country, as everyone knows, was not built on freedom and justice for all. So I think if you're not white, you're kind of forced to be political, or at least you're forced to think of yourself in a political context, which is good in a way, knowing that we always have to fight for something, or we don't always have to, because it's, you know, it's exhausting. But I can't really think of a time when I wasn't political, for worse.
It's fascinating to me, because growing up like in a straight white world, obviously I wasn't straight, but I was in the world of straight white middle America. Mm-hmm. It was real easy to be like, history is stupid.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Especially in the way that it's taught.
Yeah.
It does seem kind of stupid. It seems like something that's so in the past and like has nothing to do with what's going on today. And that's not true. It's not true at all. So, even though I hated the classes that I was taught, because the teachers, I had awful, awful history teachers. They were just so boring. Not excited about the material that they were teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had teachers that were excited about science. I had great science teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I had pretty good English teachers, but the history teachers, they always seemed like they were just waiting to get out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, waiting till the bell rang, like the kids.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, it was. I definitely didn't connect with anything that I learned in school. I've always felt a need to focus on politics. So I just always felt political.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Is it though?
I mean, I'm sure it's incredibly frustrating and draining too.
Yeah.
But
it's very exhausting. But I'm interested to know what our listeners, like what their experience is with history and politics. Like what got you into politics or history? Was there a specific event? Or were you always politically aware? Are you a black person? Yeah. Are you like a Mexican American? Did you have a teacher or an adult that modeled political awareness or fostered an interest in history for you? Did listening to a podcast get you into politics? I know that there are some listeners who came to us because of their love of cocktails, but I'm just curious to know what everyone's thoughts and feelings are.
Yeah, is Beyond Reproach like the turning point for you and now you're suddenly fascinated by American history?
Yeah.
That would be cool.
I hope
that's true. I have one person. If you're that one person, please write in.
Yes, we need your responses by February 29th,
yeah.
By the latest. Reach out to us. You have our email. You got our... It'll all be in the show notes, beyondreproachpod@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on all the socials.
Yeah, we'll put everything on social media too, like get at us. But yeah, I think whatever you got having to do with your like personal story about history or personal story about politics.
Yeah, I think everyone has a story, even if their story is nondescript like mine. Just like,
I mean, no, I don't think yours is nondescript. It's just different from how I got
to there.
I don't
have like an event or like a book.
Yeah.
It's just...
Life. That's fair. That's, you know, life is a political event for some people. That's basically anyone that's not a straight white person.
Yep.
The end.
Finn.
Yeah. So yeah, we're almost to the bottom of our drinks and it is time to GTFO.
Ooh, I like that. GTFO.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Beyond Reproach the Minisode. This has been Tux Lerzel.
Stephanie Domingo.
Thank you so much to Tim Clough, our editor, sound engineer, and podfather. We could not do this without you.
That is a fact.
All right, guys. We hope we hear from you soon.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye. Beyond Reproach is proudly recorded in Bushwick, Brooklyn. New episodes are released the first and third Monday of every month. Please note that we are not historians. We are just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. Full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. Written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone you think would be into it. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Make sure you follow us on Instagram because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop at beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves. We are on Patreon if anyone would love to show us some love and throw us some nickels to support the production of our show.